for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can
see. Welcome back to Life Matters. This is Mariah Wilde. I so appreciate y'all joining us, and I really appreciate our special guest today, Melissa Slagle. She is a certified traumatic stress specialist and a licensed social worker and licensed therapist. And we're really getting into the nitty-gritty today of traumatized children, but really any children may experience some of the feelings and then also the behaviors behind those feelings that we have been talking about. So you've been very helpful, Melissa, and I'm excited about the rest of our show. Now, a lot of our children, foster children specifically, do experience and often sometimes are labeled with post-traumatic stress syndrome. Will you explain what that is, and then let's go into what we can, how we can help these children?
Post-traumatic stress disorder in children is a psychological damage that can result after experiencing or even witnessing or participating in overwhelming traumatic or what you call frightening events for the child. Children with PTSD generally have repeated episodes in which they re-experience the traumatic event, and they relive these events through repetitive play. If you see a child that is, say, for example, we saw in New Jersey after 9/11 in New York City, children in a school there where I went, the teacher was saying that they were continuously building up towers of blocks and flying planes into those blocks, those towers of blocks, over and over. Oh. And what they're doing is they're just repetitive play. And you do want to curtail that as much as possible by giving them another thing to do, or let's make something a little bit different. In young children, distressing dreams of the traumatic event may change into nightmares of monsters. Sometimes they even have dreams of rescuing others or even threats to themselves. And this goes back to what we were talking about earlier with bedwetting. Because they mm-hmm. may have these mini dreams where they're being threatened. The post-traumatic stress disorder in children rarely appears during the traumatic time itself. Its symptoms usually occur after the event and sometimes don't surface for months and even years later. And that leaves us kind of wondering what's going on with the child.
So, and this is something that you also specialize in. You work with many veterans. And so veterans do experience oftentimes great trauma. I mean, really seeing people killed or killing others is probably one of the most incredible traumas I can imagine. And so some veterans experience that, which is horrible. And so, but then we have children who are even a more sensitive psyche. Sometimes they've experienced extremely traumatic things. So it just makes sense, whether they have an official diagnosis or not, it really doesn't matter. It makes sense that they were traumatized. And it's post-traumatic, so it's after the trauma. And so I think that we have to kind of assume that all children and the people who have experienced great trauma, that they are experiencing these things. And
definitely.
So,
and it's not just a simple thing. You need to find a certified traumatic stress specialist, or there have been a number of people trained through the Austin Disaster Response Network that have some techniques as to how to help anybody of any age, including children, be able to deal with, handle, and in many cases even eliminate those symptoms.
Oh, well,
so
give us
some ideas.
You might
want to contact
now.
Them, and I don't have the numbers in front of me to be able to give that to you.
Sure. Do you have some ideas of some things that we can do? Let's say we're still with our little boy Stephen. And we found out he has post-traumatic stress syndrome. So what are some things that we can do to be proactive to help him through this?
Okay, there's several of these. And one is that you allow and tolerate regression for any time-limited period. What I mean by that is if they have ceased to suck their thumb, you may find when they're traumatized or mm-hmm. they're experiencing post-traumatic stress symptoms, that they'll start maybe sucking their thumb again. And I have seen this in grown men and women, that they find that they're sucking their thumb again. You want to help children express their feelings through talk and play and drawings. Is ask the child to draw what was going on or what is scary to them. And then you can talk about it, and it gives you some insight where maybe they don't have the verbalization skills. You want to be dependable and available to children. You know, we get so busy as adults that I know sometimes I'm even guilty of this with my grandchildren. They'll come in and they call me Mimi. They'll say, Mimi, 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 look, 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 look. And I'm trying to maybe get, you know, oatmeal ready for breakfast or something because they left to spend the night with Mimi. And, you know, I'm busy with what I'm doing, and I'm sort of, I just sort of push them aside. And we do that as adults a lot, and that doesn't mean we always have to drop everything that we're doing. We can do this little one minute. But being dependable and being available, that you're as stable as you possibly can be, and that the children know what to expect. You're not just going to, for example, let's don't surprise the child with Disney World or Disneyland or something like that, Six Flags or whatever. We may think that this would be a wonderful surprise, but it overwhelms the child's senses, and they generally end up with a screaming match that may last for a while, and that's part of that, being dependable. Let them know what's going on. A really important thing is to limit exposure to television, particularly to depictions or aftermath and scary scenes. Watching Freddy Krueger and all those little, you know, scary movies are not a really good thing to do, because you're just teaching the child to, you know, be an adrenaline junkie. So limit the exposure to TV in scary scenes.
And now what about, and also I think that some people use the TV as a babysitter, and I think a couple of shows are, you know, okay, like young children, Dora and SpongeBob, but not for hours a day, because
no, absolutely
can you talk
not.
About how
and not even
just
getting those little bitty TV screens for them to just entertain themselves with, because what they're learning is they're learning what they've already found, that there's a hole in their learning, and this is true with any child across the board, not just foster kids or even traumatized kids, as you would think. What it does is that it starts to erase their ability to entertain themselves or to play.
Right.
You know, children need to go outside and run and jump and play and do things of energy. We're wanting them, and I think this is a fault in the schools, we're wanting children who are so full of energy to sit quietly in a classroom and not make any noise and not move about. Well, gee whiz, their little bodies are just on, you know, they're wired to move.
Yes, that's right. And I think that with TV, it really helps them zone out, and it requires, because it's constantly moving, and then you have the commercials. Then what happens is it's hard for the child to then transition into being satisfied with building a Lego, kind of figuring out how it works, because their brain is starting to get this message. It has to go. And so while for a very active child, a parent might say, whew, well, he'll sit there for a couple of hours and I can get some things done, and he's really still. And that's right, they glue onto the TV. But you know what? You're going to pay for it later when they become very hyperactive that afternoon, because they've just been overloaded with sensory. And then it's hard for them to kind of calm down. So while you might think you're giving yourself a break, you're actually hurting yourself and the child in the long run, even that very day. And you'll see it. Pay attention. And then the other thing I think parents sometimes give in to the TV or movies, and I, like I said, a little bit's okay, but if you're using it more just to get the child involved with something, they say, well, but they don't really play anyways, he's just running around the house. You have to create that. And I do love Super Nanny when she does this at, you know, this time we have breakfast, this time we have inside play, and then we're going to do the arts and crafts, and then we're going to do this, and then we're going to do that. And it does, it gives the child that schedule. And because they don't know how to go from one activity sometimes to the other. So the parent needs to kind of say, now we're going to do the Legos. Now we're going to do this. So if they don't know how to do it, and that's why you're relying on the TV, then you actually just need to teach them and create that structure. And I'm sure that that's something that you also encourage families to do.
Absolutely. One of the things you'll notice about children's programming is that there's this frenetic activity. Everything is buzzing and going and moving and zipping and all this sort of thing. And what you're doing is you're just teaching the child to buzz and go and zip. but there's not any destination for those thought processes to get to.
That's interesting.
You know, the child is all, just jazzed on all of this motion, and they need to be able to learn how to slow down. Now, this is where one of the things that has been found to be very helpful is when the child is maybe taking their nap or when it's come time toward evening, we'll stop all the buzzing and zapping stuff. And I know that there's this generation that doesn't like this, what they call elevator music, that is calming. Something even classical like Pachelbel's Canon. It has the beat in it of the resting heart rate. And it helps the child go to sleep. I know there's these CDs that are out there in most of the Babies R Us type stores and whatnot that you can get that have that very slow. It's sort of Baroque music that has a very slow beat to it, and that your heart rate will synchronize with the music.
Wow, you're also, if you think about the opposite, if you're playing rock music, and even if you're thinking, well, it's Christian rock, but you're wanting a child to calm, that would not be the atmosphere that would create that.
You need the quiet music, and yes, it puts you to sleep. That's what it's designed
That's a good idea. It's a good idea for rest time in the afternoon. It's a great idea for bedtime.
And even playing that kind of music in the background when you're doing crafts playing with Play-Doh or coloring. Or I will tell you something that my grandkids love, and they've got a nutty Grammy, so this is okay.
I have to say they're lucky.
And, in the fall when the leaves are falling, well, we bring the leaves inside because there's also a lot of rain in the Tulsa area, at least in the fall, and I allow the children to play in the leaves indoors, particularly when it's raining outside. And then there's another thing I do is they all love chocolate pudding. Well, chocolate pudding is probably not on the top of my list of really healthy things to feed the children, but every now and then, moderation, you can do this. So we make chocolate pudding on the dining room table. Well, we make it, and then we pour it on the dining room table, and we do finger painting with chocolate pudding.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, we put on, I just take them down to their diapers or their panties, so they're just standing around there, and so they can lick all they want to, they can eat all they want to. It's amazing how little children will eat if you don't put it in a bowl.
So they're doing
finger painting with chocolate pudding, and it's wonderful to, it's easy to clean up afterward. They can eat all they want to, and then you pop them into bed for their bath. Or, excuse me, not bed. You pop them in the bathtub. That'd be a better place, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
You pop them in the bathtub for a nice scrub up, and then put them into bed.
I have to say, that's something that children will not forget. Your grandchildren are very lucky. And it probably cost a whole, like, a dollar or two. Families, you can have so much fun. I think as adults, we need to find the child within us and meet these children. We'll be right back. Y'all are listening to Life Matters and the Word, 98.5 and 99.3. Check us out at familylinkkids.com. Don't go away.
Give me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.